The Lord, he did not want to exhibit the ecstasies of his love before common people. So he locked the doors and locked the windows. And only his personal associates, which means his devotees and also their wives, it was a little distance, they were the only ones to be allowed him. Our holy scriptures describe some of the ecstatic symptoms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he would be chanting the holy names. They would chant kirtan day and night. The Lord would sometimes in that kirtan uncontrollably weep in such a way he could do nothing else for 3 continuous hours. The next moment, he would just uncontrollably be laughing for 3 continuous hours. The next moment, he would become heavier than the universe. And then he would become as light as cotton. The devotees would just pick him up and put him on their shoulders and put him on their heads and pass them around like a piece of cotton. Other times he would faint and he would be unconscious for 6 hours while the kirtan is going on. Other times his teeth would chatter in such a way like a tiny little boy in the winter cold. His teeth chattered so intensely that it appeared that each of his teeth became separate and they were all just on the verge of falling out. Other times, he would perspire. It appeared that from every pore of his body, the river Ganga was flowing. That is how he perspired. And at other times, he would perspire blood. These are symptoms of ecstasy. Sometimes his body would just burn in kirtan, and they would put chandan on his body to cool it off, and it would just immediately dry up. They'd put it on, it would go. Put it on. It would just evaporate. Other times, he would roar with the volume of 10 million lions. Now that roar of 10 million lions is so loud that it would destroy anyone's ears. But as he was roaring with that volume, he simultaneously, by his own potencies, put transcendental earplugs in his devotees. To protect their ears. Other times he would just sigh. He would sigh in such emotions of separations that the devotees would just run away. Other times the Lord would roll on the ground. He would just roll like a beautiful golden mountain. At the next minute, his eyes would become red like coals and he would stare at the devotees. Then he would embrace them, affectionately embrace them. Then he would go into another mood, and after embracing him, he would climb and sit on their heads. Then he entered into another mood of transcendental emotion and he became just like a baby child and he would crawl around on the ground just like he was exploring the world for the first time. And then the next moment he would manifest his tribhangarup, his threefold bending form. He would hold the flute and he would stand in that posture for 3 hours as all the devotees worshipped him while chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Lord would sometimes play the flute, manifesting his supreme excellence as Lord Krishna himself. And then the next moment, he would be like the most humble devotee. He would put straw between his teeth, and he would go and try to take the dust to worship every devotee from their feet. Sometimes he would take his feet and place them on his head in such a way that his body was a perfect circle. And this is while everyone's dancing and chanting in ecstasy, and he would remain in that perfect circular form for 3 hours. At other times, his limbs would uncontrollably tremble. And then the next minute, his beautiful golden complexion would start changing colors. Sometimes it would become pink, sometimes white, sometimes blue. Other times, the devotees would see that he just wasn't one Gauranga, but his form was doubling and tripling. The Lord, when he danced, this dance of supernatural, spiritual, ecstatic love purified the entire world. Should I continue? Thank you very much. The blasphemers, they were really upset by all this. Because now that Nimai was in these kirtans all night, the volume was increasing like anything. The enthusiasm was increasing. So the blasphemers, they are literally screaming in the house of Srivast Thakur practically 24 hours a day. And then they were all speculating what's going on in there. One said, I know what they do. At night, they drink large sums of intoxicating wine. And then they go out during the day and they find beautiful young virgin girls. And they feed them all this wine until the girls lose completely all their senses. And then they decorate them with fine ornaments and fine garments and perform horrible, horrible, immoral activities. What's happened to Nimai? Somebody said, I know what's happened to Nimai. His father left this world, and therefore there was no one to discipline him. And therefore he's gone completely mad. And then he started associating with this Srivas, and he went totally mad. And now he's making everybody mad. But they won't let us in. We are qualified, learned, high-born Brahmins. Why don't they let us in? They would knock on the door, poom, 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 poom. Screaming and yelling, blasphemies, let us in, let us in. But the devotees, they were so engrossed in kirtan that they just had no conception that there was a material world. They didn't hear. Then they just continued their blasphemies. They said, because they're chanting so loud, they're offending the devatas. And when the demigods are offended, they're going to stop sending rain. Then there will be drought, and we will all starve to death because of them. We must stop this. Another man said, the Paramatma is in everyone's heart. He can hear. He can hear you when you chant very softly. Why do they need to scream that Paramatma hears everything and bother everyone else? Offensive, offensive. And somebody else, a pious man, he actually understood that these are great Vaishnavas. This pious man said, Why do you always criticize and blaspheme? If we just behave ourselves nicely, then maybe someday Nimai Pandit will let us enter into the kirtan. And the blasphemers would just look at him and say, he's one of them! Get him! Get him! They would chase after the blasphemer. He'd have to run away for his life. The pious man. But the devotees, they were happy. You have to understand, whoever you are, whatever you do, you're going to be criticized. There will be propaganda. And see, what kind of lying propaganda? Can you imagine if there was internet in those days? Can you imagine what kind of websites these blasphemers would have made? This keyword search, Gauranga. Well, my friends, unfortunately, it's happening today, just to an extent. Devotees carried on with their Sankirtan. There was one such blasphemer. He was actually the chief of the Brahmins. This man was empowered. His name was Gopal Chapala. Gopal Chapala. He was so envious of Shiva, so envious, because he couldn't get into his house. This was really an insult. Here he is, a Brahmin, who's the representative of God on earth, and people should be inviting him to his house and washing his feet and giving him gifts and prasad and everything, and they lock the doors. Insult. So he wanted to destroy the reputation of Srivas Pandit. Actually, Prabhupada said, the most valuable thing of the material world for a preacher is his or her reputation. Spiritually, our faith, our devotion, our purity, our love. But on the material side, the most valuable thing we have is our reputation. Because if people have faith in you, they'll hear what you say and it will change their hearts. So Gopal Chapala wanted to destroy Srivas Thakur's reputation. And how did he do it? In the middle of the night. He arranged the mode of ignorance paraphernalia of Bhavani Puja, which means plantain leaves, vermilion, wine, sometimes even flesh, which is for worshippers of demigods who want very, very lowly material benedictions. That is what kind of puja he put in front of Srivas' house, so that everyone would think he's just a pretender, he's a hypocrite. So who is the first one up in the morning to see it? Srivas Pandit. Nobody else saw it, only Srivas Pandit. Now, if it was most of us, he would probably just clean it all up really fast before anybody else saw it. But not Srivas. He called for all his neighbors and said, I want to show you what I do in the middle of the night. I'm actually a worshipper of Shakta. Shakti. I'm a worshipper of Shakti. I'm a Shakta. See what I'm doing. Now that is Amanina Manadena. But nobody believed him. Everybody understood that some malicious dacoit rascal has done this. And they immediately cleaned it, took all that stuff to a distant place, and with cow dung washed the whole front area of his house. 3 days later, Gopal Chapala contracted leprosy. Not gradually, but within 3 days, he had sores all over his body. His nose, his fingers, and his toes melted away. They were oozing, itching infections covering his entire body that was unbearably inflicting intolerable suffering upon him. And because it's a contagious disease, he was cast out of the town. And he had just to sleep in a secluded place on the bank of the river. He lost his family, he lost his wealth, he lost his prestige, he lost his health. He was suffering terribly. Sometime later, Lord Chaitanya was walking down the bank of the Ganges in that direction. Gopal Chapala approached him and said, "My Lord, I know that you are the Lord and you have descended to this world to deliver the most fallen, suffering persons. You come to relieve the burden of suffering. I'm suffering so much. Please, my Lord, please, I beg you, save me. Save me from this misery." Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu looked upon him with anger in his eyes. He says, "Gopal Chapala, you offended my devotee, Srivas. Therefore, I curse that you will suffer like this for the next 10 million births." And then he walked away and bathed in the Ganga. Hare Krishna. Now, some years ahead, because we don't want to end like that. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, when he was in Kulia, which is today the town of Navadvip, he was forgiving all the offenses of so many people there. He was giving love of God to the offenders if they just repented with the proper humility. So Gopal Chapala, it took so many years of suffering for him to really have a genuinely humble and simple heart, and was really regretful for what he did in his envious spirits. He fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet, this leper, whose body was practically consumed with disease by that time. He fell at the Lord's feet, crying, begging forgiveness. And the Lord said, "I have no power to forgive you. If someone offends a devotee, only that devotee can forgive." And he cited the story of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni from the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. "Go to Srivas. If he forgives you, then my mercy will be with you." He went to Srivas Thakur, fell at his feet. Srivas picked him up and embraced him. Heartfelt with love, he forgave him. When Gopal Chapala came back to Lord Chaitanya, he was not only delivered from all the sufferings of leprosy, his body became good, but he attained spiritual perfection. Patita Pavana Gaura Hari Ki. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would every day come to the house of Srivas, and in the mood of a devotee, he would inspire the chanting to begin, and he would dance throughout the day, dance throughout the night. One day, the Lord performed a lila that is forever enshrined within the hearts of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. the Satprahariya Bhava. The Leela where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 21 hours manifested his ecstasies as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He revealed the various incarnations according to his devotees' particular love for him. On this day, Lord Chaitanya came in like any other day. The devotees began to chant. And just when he was about to start dancing, the devotees saw that the Lord did something very, very different. He walked right up to the altar and sat on the throne of Vishnu in the altar with the Shalagram Shilas on his lap. The devotees understood what the Lord was about to do. Then he told the devotees, chant the Abhishekam Kirtan. Mukunda Dat immediately began singing beautiful, beautiful, sweet bhajans that are specifically for the Abhishek of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Other devotees began to chant the Purusha Shukta prayers, understanding the Lord's will. Thousands of clay pots of water was being brought from the Ganges. Nityananda was the first to bathe the Lord, then Advaita, then Srivas. They were just bathing the Lord. Now, in an ordinary Abhishekam, usually 108 pots of water is used for the deities. But on this night, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he allowed the devotees to bathe him with thousands and thousands of buckets of water. There was one maidservant who was actually a young girl. Her name was Duki. Now, why in India people give names like this? It usually has a deep meaning. It doesn't explain why her mother and father named her Duki. But usually other brothers and sisters have died and they want Yamaraj to feel sorry for her and spare her life, so they name her Duki. Doesn't say, but this is what I have seen in India. So her name was Duki. Duki, for those of you who are from the West, means miserable. She was a maidservant, simple, poor, uneducated maidservant of Shiva's. But she was going and getting bucket after bucket from the Ganga and making nice rows, putting them. And even though this incredible Abhishek was taking place, the perfection of the eyes, she was so enthusiastic and committed to just serve the other devotees by giving them water to bathe the Lord, that she didn't even look at the Lord. She was too busy serving. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has taught us this process. Do not try to see Krishna, but serve Krishna in such a way that he is pleased to see you. This was Duki. Instead of watching the beautiful golden form of Lord Chaitanya on the throne of Vishnu, she was just supplying water, putting it in nice rows so that the other devotees can give it to Nityananda, Advaita, and Srivas to bathe the Lord. The Lord took note of this. And he asked Srivas, who is this maidservant? Srivas said, her name is Duki. And Lord Chaitanya said, from this day on, I will call her Suki. The name Duki is not acceptable in my heart. Upon giving her the name Suki, he instantaneously gave her the ecstatic happiness of love of God. To show the world that those who are eager to be the servant of the servant of the servant are most recognized
by the Supreme Personality of God and receive the greatest blessing.
After this Abhishekam, they dried the Lord's body with silken cloths. Then they put very, very beautiful garments, garments that are fit for a deity, upon the Lord. Then they arranged for beautiful ornaments, gold, silver, precious jewels, to decorate the body of the Lord. They offered him Padya, Achaman, Madhupar. Then the Lord said, "I am hungry." It was time for the Rajbhog. They brought thousands of pots of condensed milk. In an instant, he drank them all. They brought thousands and thousands of fresh ripe bananas. Right before their eyes, he ate it all. They brought thousands of pots of Ganges water. Within minutes, he drank them all. They brought him thousands of coconuts. He ate them all. And he kept saying, "Give me more, give me more." He just had his hand out. The devotees were going out all over the town and villages, just buying everything for sale that was offerable, and bringing it back and bringing it back. Pots and pots of sandesh, pots and pots of all kinds of sweetmeats. And the Lord would just honor it within a moment. As he was eating this bhoga, showing his supreme opulence of the personality of Godhead, he was revealing the past lives of each of his devotees. He said to Srivas, "Do you remember long ago, before I incarnated in this world, when you were roaming around the Navadvip area, and you happened to hear Srimad Bhagavatam being recited by Devananda Pandit? You went into that class. When you heard the pure ambrosial nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam's verses, ecstatic love awakened in your heart. You began to cry and weep very loudly without even knowing what you were doing." At that time, Devananda Pandit was disturbed, and his students harshly picked you up, took you outside, and threw you on the ground. Because the teacher was ignorant, the students were also ignorant. You didn't know what they were doing. But later on, when you came to external consciousness, you saw you were just laying in the dirt all alone. And you realized, and you lamented. You felt depressed. Do you remember, Srivas, how depressed you were? You went back home, and you began to study Srimad Bhagavatam on your own. As you were reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, ecstatic happiness awakened within your heart. Srivas, I put that ecstatic happiness in your heart. It is I who give you that spiritual joy every time you read Srimad Bhagavatam. When Srivas heard this, his heart melted in transcendental ecstasy. Then the Lord turned to Gangadas Pandit, who previously was his teacher. He said, "Gangadas, do you remember long ago? It was late at night, and the Yavana king was attacking your village with soldiers. And you knew as a fact that they were going to plunder your house and abuse your family. So you ran and ran and ran with all of your family members. But it was the middle of the night when you came to the Ganga. There was no boats available to take you across. And the king's soldiers were coming closer and closer and closer. And the sun was about to rise. These soldiers are going to touch the body and defile the chastity of my wife and children. So you and your entire family decided at that moment to drown yourselves in the Ganga. Better to end your lives than to be polluted by these uncivilized barbarians. When you gave up all hope, a boatman came. He just appeared on the Ganga. And you became so happy. You said, "Boatman, boatman, please, please, I'll give you all the money I have. I'll give you all my clothes. I'll give you all everything, my very life. Just take us across the river." The boatman took you across the river to save your life. I want you to know, Ganga Das, I descended from Vaikuntha and I incarnated in the form of that boatman just to save you. When Ganga Das heard this, he fell to the ground in gratitude as all the devotees cheered, "Hari Bol." The Lord called out, "Bring Sridhar." The devotees were wondering, who is Sridhar? The Lord said, "Sridhar, 12 hours every night, nonstop, chants the holy name. So now it's night. Just go to the outskirts of the town and you'll hear him chanting. Just follow the sound and you will find Sridhar." Now this Kolavecha Sridhar, he was a very poor man. By material standards, he was in abject poverty. But all night, every night, for 12 hours, he would just continuously chant the holy names loudly. And the materialistic people around, they were very upset. "He's keeping us up. What is the purpose of life? The purpose of life is to gain knowledge and to gain money so you can enjoy. And how can you do that if you don't sleep at night? We know why he's chanting. He pretends to be in ecstasy. It's just because he has no food in his belly, that burning, burning sensation. He's just screaming all night the names of Krishna." So sometimes they would just take vegetables and throw it at him and say, "Just shut up. Take this and eat." They blasphemed him so many ways. But Sridhar didn't care what anybody said about him. Why? Param drishtva nivartate. These things only affect us when we're on that platform. But he was tasting the nectar of the holy name. Therefore, he was transcendental to all of the temporary relative situations of this world. Sridhar blissfully continued chanting all night long. The devotees heard his voice and followed. They came to his house. He said, "Sridhar, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu is calling for you. Please come now." Sridhar was so humble. "He's calling for me? My Lord is calling for me? Why? Why would he call for me?" He fainted. Laying unconscious, the devotees picked him up and brought him back to Srivasangam. There they placed him before Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let us talk a little about the story of Sridhar. Lord Chaitanya would come to Sridhar's home or to his shop for the purpose of purchasing banana leaves, bananas, and banana roots, and sometimes banana flowers also. Now, Sridhar, he was as honest as Maharaj Yudhisthira. He never overcharged anyone. He was such a compassionate, selfless being. He literally, it doesn't make sense from a business point of view, the way he did business. Most businessmen, they think, what's the most possible profit margin I could make from a customer and still have customers? Is that the way some businessmen? Admit it. Please. Well, Sridhar was just the opposite. He was thinking, what's the least possible profit margin I could charge my customers so that I can just barely survive? That was his strategy. And then the first half of whatever he made, he would offer food to Mother Ganga, knowing that Ganga Devi is pure devotee of the Lord, descending from the feet of the Lord, who's delivering all living beings who take bath in her. He's a great devotee of Vishnu. Therefore, he wanted to worship Vishnu, who's Vishnupadi, coming from his lotus feet as Ganga Devi. He never overpriced. He was absolutely honest. So Nimai Pandit, year after year, he would come to Srivas. Said, how much is this banana? He would quote, I will give you half. Srivas would say, but how could you give me half? How will I live? He said, no, I will give you half. You are cheating me. Why are you cheating? I'm a Brahmin. Sridhar would say, please forgive me, I am a dog. Take it for whatever you like. All right, then I will take it for nothing. Sometimes he would argue, and he would just say, I will give you this much. So that's only a fraction. He'd say, I'm taking it. And Sridhar would say, no, no, don't take it. And they would shove each other in love. They would argue. Actually, according to our scripture, every day for 2 hours, Nimai Pandit would argue with Kolavecha Sridhar. That's mercy. There's only 24 hours in a day. In 2 days, the Lord, this is before he started his Sankirtan movement, he would argue with Kolavecha Sridhar. That's how much he relished and loved his association. One day the Lord said to Sridhar, Why do you worship Krishna? What is he doing for you? Look at your clothes. They're knotted in 10 places. And look at your belly, it's emaciated. And look at your house. I don't see that rain is not coming in. Your thatched straw hut. You have no furniture. He only had one utensil, practically, which was an old, beaten-up iron pot. So what do you have? Look at your neighbors. They worship Chandi. And they have nice houses, good food, good clothes. Sridhar said, I have everything I want. I have Krishna. I have his holy names. In the passing of time, what is the difference between the king with beautiful throne, clothes, and palace, and a bird living in a tree? Ultimately, their lives, it's the same quality. I am happy. I have clothes. My body is covered, and I have a house. And somehow I eat by Krishna's grace. The Lord said, you are a wealthy man. Someday I will reveal to the world your hidden treasure. He said to Sridhar, who do you think I am? And Sridhar said, you are a great Brahmin. The topmost human beings are the Brahmins. You are Brahmin. And the Lord said, no, I am a cowherd boy. Sridhar couldn't understand what he's talking. And other times he said, Sridhar, why are you arguing over price of bananas with me? He said, my Lord, if you don't like my price, then please, there's so many other banana sellers, go to them. The Lord said, no. I know a good supplier when I have one, and I will not give it up. He said, you give half of your income to worship goddess Ganga? Yes?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Well, I am the lord of goddess Ganga. The goddess Ganga is emanating from my lotus feet. I am the source and cause of everything. Sridhar said, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. Nimai, how can you speak like this? Are you not afraid to offend the Ganga and Vishnu? Then he would think in his mind, what is the loss if I give to this beautiful Brahman? My Lord, Nimai, just take whatever you want. The Lord loves Sridhar so much that every single day he would take his main meal always off the fresh banana leaves of Sridhar. So this Sridhar was brought before Lord Chaitanya right here where you are sitting in Shriva Sangam. Lord Chaitanya, he said to Sridhar, come, come, you are always calling me. Birth after birth after birth, you have left your body, remembering me and chanting my holy names. Now, Sridhar, see my opulence. What did Kolavecha Sridhar see on the throne of Vishnu? He saw that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a complexion deep, dark, like a tamal tree. Beautiful lotus-like eyes. He had a peacock feather in his hair. Garment that was brilliant, yellow. He stood holding his flute. On his side was Lord Balaram, standing with his beautiful, beautiful white complexion, the darshan of Sri Krishna Balaram. Kolavecha Sridhar is an eternal cowherd boy associate of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. The Lord was manifesting his Ishtadev, Krishna Balaram. He saw Sanat Kumar, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, all offering prayers. Then there was Sukadeva Goswami, Narada Muni, and all the great sages offering prayers to Krishna Balaram. He saw hundreds and millions of beautiful goddesses offering prayers to Krishna Balaram. He saw Kadamba trees, beautiful birds, peacocks, the river Jamuna, and the land of Vrindavan. Seeing this incredible darshan before his eyes, Kolavecha Sridhar fell to the ground unconscious. He could not control his emotions. Lord Chaitanya, he called upon Sridhar. He said, "Rise, Sridhar, rise and offer me prayers." Kalavetra Sridhar said, "My Lord, please forgive me. I am a dog. But I'm not literate. I'm not well educated. I have no power to offer prayers. What could I speak?" Lord said, "Don't you worry. You just speak anything." At that time, Lord Chaitanya sent Goddess Saraswati to manifest on Sridhar's tongue so that he would have the power to eloquently reveal the innermost love of his heart. Kalavetra Sridhar, he prayed, all glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Vishwambar, Sachinandan, Jagannath Sutta. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, who is the ultimate abode of everyone's love, the ultimate object of everyone's devotion. Your body is devotional service personified. All bhakti resides in you. But now you have incarnated and you have placed that bhakti of your own heart in Sri Navadvip Dham. What is the power of this bhakti? The power of bhakti is it conquers you at all times, in all places. Bhishma Dev, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Bhishma Dev caused you to break your own promise and pick up that wagon wheel and attack him because he conquered you by his devotion. Yashoda Mai, she tied you up with the rope of her love. She captured you by the power of devotion. Satyabhama, she purchased you. Krishna, I want a Parijata tree from Indraloka. Even though it meant a major war between you and the demigods, just to satisfy the whim of Satyabhama, you were willing to do that. That is the power of her devotion. And the gopas of Vrindavan, on the power of their devotion, they defeat you in the games. And just to show all the Brijabasi how you are conquered by your devotees, you place the cowherd boys on your shoulders. My Lord, you are always conquered by pure devotion. But I am so unfortunate that I have no devotion, not even a speck of devotion. But one who begs, one who sincerely and earnestly begs for pure devotion, that person defeats you. This is very important. To be a devotee merely means to be a beggar. If we think we have something, we don't beg. Or if we do, it's just show bottle. Yes? If some Kaurapati comes to someone's house and says, "Please give me some rice," it's not going to come from the heart. First of all, he won't do it. And if he does, he's probably trying to evade taxes or something like that. But to feelingly beg. You have to be desperate. Another example. If you have a full belly, if you just eat Govardhan Puja Mahotsav, and you're laying on your left side, 90% unconscious, eating various churnas to somehow or other digest the overload. And then you go to somebody and say, please, please, I'm hungry, give me food. Just the thought of doing that will make something happen. There's no feeling. There's no genuineness. But if you're actually starving, if you haven't had food or water for days, then you know what a beggar is. Yes? So if we have false ego, that means our heart is full. In America, we say you're full of it. If you have too much false ego, your heart is just full with yourself. I am the doer. I am learned. I am handsome. I am beautiful. I have a good birth. I'm a good devotee. I'm almost a pure devotee. But because I'm so close, I could somehow or other make it appear that I am a pure devotee. Why, people should respect me. People should honor me. Very good. And I should take credit for whatever I do, and I should take credit for whatever I didn't do. If we have that ego, how could we beg? How can we beg Krishna for mercy? Therefore, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taror Iba Sri Krishna, Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahi. Unless we have this disposition, we can't really beg. And what does a devotee beg for? A devotee begs for bhakti. You can only beg for bhakti when you feel that you are bereft of bhakti. That was Kalavetra Shrita. You are conquered, my Lord. You are defeated, my Lord, by those who sincerely and earnestly beg for bhakti, for pure love. But I am so unfortunate. I am so unqualified that there is not even a tinge of bhakti in my heart. After hearing these beautiful prayers, Lord Chaitanya was so very pleased with Kalavetra Sridhar. He said, ask for a boon. I will give you anything you ask. I will give you all the 8 mystical siddhis, perfections. Ask. Kalavetra Sridhar replied, my Lord, I do not want anything from you. The Lord insisted, please ask, please ask, ask for anything, ask for any boon, I want to give you a boon. Kalavetra Sridhar said, my Lord, I don't want anything from you. Please, please be peaceful. Lord Chaitanya said, I am peaceful. But I want to give you a boon, ask for a boon. Kalavetra Sridhar replied that let me just always remember that little boy coming to take away my bananas. Let me just always remember that. The Lord said, is that all? I will give you a kingdom. You're poverty stricken. I will give you an entire kingdom. I don't want that, my Lord. I will give you anything, liberation, elevation to Vaikuntha, eternal perfection in the spiritual world. Ask anything of me. I will give. Kalavetra Sridhar's only desire, he said, if you must give me something, Let me always be the servant of the servant of your servants. Let that little boy Nimai always come. Let me always remember that little boy Nimai coming to steal my bananas. And let me always sing your names and glories. That is all I wish. When the Lord heard this, he said, Sridhar, you have defeated me. I grant you the benediction of pure, unalloyed, devotional service. I grant you eternal, ecstatic love of God. And all the devotees, when they heard that, they cried out, Jai! Jai! Vrindavan Das Thakur gives us a benediction. Anyone who hears this narration with a sincere and faithful heart will attain the treasure of pure love of God. The Lord turned to Advaitacharya. Nara! Nara! Ask for any boon! Lord Advaitacharya replied with folded hands, with a blissful smile. He said, I have attained what I prayed for. What does this mean? For years. Advaitacharya, for years he prayed for the Lord to descend on earth. And here, during the Mahaprakash Lila, the Lord was revealing his supreme opulences. You have already fulfilled the boon I was longing for. You have descended on the earth. I have attained what I prayed for. The Lord then turned toward Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was glancing upon the Lord. The Lord said, Murari, look! Look! Murari looked. He saw on the throne Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had transformed into Sri Ramchandra. His body was the color of fresh durva grass. Beautiful lotus-like eyes, golden ornament. He held a bow and a quiver. On one side of him was Sita Devi, on the other side was Lakshman. And then Murari Gupta happened to look down and saw that he had a tail. And then he looked at his body, and it was the body of a monkey. He fell to the ground unconscious. How did the Lord wake him up? He said, Oh monkey! Where is that Ravana who stole Sita and lit your tail on fire? Do you remember how with your lit tail you burnt down the entire city of Sri Lanka? Look, here is Lakshman, your very life and soul. You lifted the Gandamadana mountain and carried it across thousands of miles to rescue his life. And here, bow down to Mother Sita. You wept a shoreless ocean of tears to see how she was tormented by Ravana. Murari, ask for any boon. I want to give you any boon you desire.
Murari Gupta
He said, "My Lord, I do not want anything from you. I only want to sing your glories."